In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Once you were in darkness. Once you were darkness. But now you are light. In Christ, you are light, not darkness. For those of us who are converts from confessions of Christianity that begin with the idea, the misunderstanding, that we are dark, corrupt, damned. And it's only by accepting the gift of our salvation that we can enter into the kingdom of God at the end of our lives. These words of St. Paul are obscured. As we have been converts, those of us here who are converts to Orthodox Christianity, to the fullness of the teaching of the Christian faith that was received in the East, did not entirely pass into the West. It takes some time. We still think of ourselves as darkness. When we come to confession, we confess in the darkness, our shortcomings, our failings, our sins. We identify with them. We believe that we need to be changed in order for us to be like Christ. We do need to be changed, but maybe not in the way that we understand it, if our minds, our hearts are still dark, clouded. St. Paul says that we are children of light. We are no longer children of darkness. He tells us that we should have nothing to do with the fruit of darkness, that we should expose the works of darkness. I have heard people who interpreted these words of St. Paul as a justification to accuse others. Believe it or not, Paul says, the Bible says, we should accuse those who are committing works of darkness because we are children of the light. What a confused way of understanding things. We are to expose the works of darkness in ourselves. Each of us confesses before Christ God for ourselves. St. Paul says, I am the first of sinners. We repeat those words in the Divine Liturgy. Each one of us says, I am the first of sinners. We cannot accuse anyone other than ourselves. Who is the accuser, Christ or Satan? Satan is the accuser. Christ does not accuse us. He allows us to accuse ourselves and to get rid of any darkness that is in us. And in our spiritual lives, Satan will accuse us. That's what he does. And when we respond to him by hanging our heads in shame and admitting that we are as he says we are, children of the darkness, like him, then he has got us. Then we have guilt. Then we identify ourselves as of the darkness. We might even call out to God to change us and to make us different, to improve us. And Satan has got us right where he wants us. True repentance is impossible because we believe we are of the darkness and need to be changed from dark into light. But St. Paul says, you are children of the light. Once you were children of the darkness, now you are no longer children of the darkness. And so we can even use Satan's accusation of us. When he accuses us, we begin to get ready to come to the sacrament of confession. And if we are at least at the point that we can find and recognize our sins to confess them, and Satan accuses us, we accuse ourselves, and we respond with guilt as though, this is the way I am. We want to come to confession and confess, this is the way I am, Father. I do this, I do that. This is the way I am. I will try harder. I will try to do my prayers more faithfully, more devoutly. I will try to do this and try to do that. God help me. We haven't repented of the thing that we have done. We don't believe that we can go and sin no more. Satan has got us. We know that our humanity has been redeemed, transformed, and that thousands upon millions upon billions of the saints have revealed the glory of God. We can look at saints who have lived recently, read their works, and see that they are different from other human beings, that they show forth the brightness of Christ through our humanity in a way that has only been made possible by the death of Christ on the cross, the destruction of the power of death over us, and the possibility of our living lives that are bright with His light, not our light. It is possible, but how do we begin? Where do we begin? We have heard the Beatitudes read today because we are remembering St. John Climacus, St. John of the Ladder, St. John who wrote the spiritual text, the Ladder of Divine Ascent, where each rung of the ladder is a virtue that we climb and pull ourselves up in the spiritual effort to cast out the works of darkness in ourselves. But as we hear the Beatitudes, we hear them with Western ears, with ears and minds that are fixed in abstract, absolute terms, filled with our own individualistic confidence that if we have exactly the right teaching, we can do whatever needs to be done. We lack humility. Pride runs through us like the blood through our veins. There is a place in the Beatitudes for us to begin. First of all, as Orthodox, we know that salvation is a process already accomplished in Christ, already achieved in the particular lives of billions and millions of saints, men and women, not their own accomplishment, but their own gradual divesting of the works of darkness inside of themselves. We know that it is possible and that it is a process. But when it comes to our own lives, we hear these words of the Beatitudes and we say, I must do this and this and this and this. I must accomplish this. And when I don't, then I will go and I will come to confession and confess the specific examples of where I have fallen short of one of the Beatitudes. Getting rid of this legalistic way of thinking is probably the first and central challenge that we have as converts to the fullness of the Christian faith. It's good to think of it like this, maybe. There is our stage of virtue, the way that we are struggling in our spiritual lives. And then there is the stage of virtue of the saints. You never get finished. You never become Christ Himself. There is always more. Even the Western writer C.S. Lewis knew that even after death, we continue to move toward the highest of the high country. We can never become perfect by nature. Only God is perfect. Only God is good. But human beings are created in the image and likeness of God. And the meaning of life is to move toward Him and become more and more and more like Him eternally. So even the saints have not once and for all done each one of the Beatitudes, each one of the virtues, in a way that they have accomplished them for themselves. Even for them, it remains a progression, a movement, further on, deeper in, higher up. That's the way it is for every created being, because we are created beings created in the image and likeness of God. But there is a difference, as we find out when we read the writings of St. Paisios. We see that here is a man who shows forth the life and peace of Christ in a way that we do not. And so there is the stage of virtue of the saints, and there is our stage of virtue. If we look at the Beatitudes, we can pick out two in particular that are starting places, at least for us in the 21st century in America. In another century, there might be different ones. There's a certain amount of adjustment even between one person and another as to what things bind them and where they need to begin. But for us, in the most part, as Americans in the 21st century, those two Beatitudes Blessed are those who mourn, and blessed are those who hunger after righteousness, are perhaps critical. Blessed are those who mourn. What does that mean? We can mourn for lack of the things of this world, or we can mourn for our lack of the things of Christ. We can mourn for the lack of the light in our life. When we see that there are works of darkness in ourselves and that we do works of darkness, we should mourn, not despair. There is a huge difference. There is a holy mourning. There is a holy sorrow where we see that we do things and act in ways that are not godlike, not Christlike. We see that we bring evil into the world where there was not evil before by doing things that are works of darkness. And we mourn the fact that that is so. We can look out upon the world and we can see that the world is not as it ought to be. We can long for justice, but there are two kinds of justice, as Elder Paisios explains to us. There is human justice and there is divine justice, God's justice. If we look out into the world and we long for human justice, then we would like to go and put things right once and for all in the Middle East. We would like to go into the colleges and put things right once and for all for those women who are victimized by predatory men. We would like to put things right once and for all in so many ways in our society and in the world. And we can have a longing for that human justice. And that is a kind of human righteousness. But there is another kind of righteousness. There is another kind of justice. Not human justice, but divine justice, God's justice. Christ did not come into the world and become incarnate by becoming a babe in the cradle of the emperor of Rome and just simply take on the reins of the world and do things as they ought to be done. That was the kind of ruler that the Jews had expected, that he would straighten things out in the world, make things just in terms of the world. That's not what he did, because had he done that, it would not have changed anything. Instead, he was born humbly to a family where he worked for his living with his hands in strong labor until he was 30 years old and then went out into the world. Not one of the upper class, the ruling class, but simply someone who was preaching the word of God in a way that rejected the way of the world altogether. The divine justice of God meant that he needed to go to the cross and lay down the body of his perfect humanity, our humanity in his flesh, lay down his divine life as he had united divinity in humanity in himself. He laid that down and he gave us the example of his humility, a transforming humility. He accepted the injustice of the world, and he took it upon himself, and he put it to death in himself. It never left him. Out of him came light. Out of him came life. And we have been baptized into his life to do the same thing, not to long for a human justice in the world, but to long for the divine justice, where within ourselves all things would be light. And gradually, we can move in that direction if we have a holy sorrow whenever we are confronted by one of our sins. Because the light has come. All things have been accomplished once and for all, except in me. And for each one of us, it is that way. And my life is the task of rooting out any trace of darkness within me. Because I am of the light. I have died to the darkness. I have arisen in Christ. I have been baptized into his life. And there is no place for darkness within me. Now, this is something that we can do. It's something that we can begin at any time. All we have to be able to do is to reject Satan's inference to us that when we sin, we are of the darkness, he owns us. So long as we embrace that sin, he does have rights over us, we are told. But we can reject that. We don't have to accept it and confess that, yes, Father, I am of the darkness. I do this. I will continue to do it. No, we repent of it, which means that we intend to stop, that we will stop. By the grace of God, we will stop whatever it is that we've done. And we will begin to move in humility toward him. We reject the sin of pride, so difficult to deal with, by way of holy sorrow. Holy sorrow, this mourning for the fact that I am not as God created me to be, that I am not as clean as the other saints that I have been joined to in my life. This holy mourning, that is the beginning of our path. It can put to death sin. It can put to death that destructive sense of guilt and belonging to the darkness. It can put to death all of those things that make it impossible to get off of the mark and begin to move toward Christ. Now, for the saints, we can see in them things that we may never be able to reach. And if we do reach them, we won't be thinking about them. We won't be concerned about them. We will only be concerned about reaching beyond where we are for that next rung, to reach Christ God there at the summit of the ladder at the end of our life in this world, so that he can pull us into paradise. That's all we'll be concerned with. But looking at the saints, we can see that they have a purity of heart. It should inspire us, not give us despair because we don't have it. They have purity of heart. None of the passions control them. The roar of the passions in them has been silenced, has been put to rest. They walk across them like Christ walking across the storm of the water. And they are peacemakers. Wherever they are, there is the peace of Christ. We can't say that about ourselves, but we know that it is possible to go far up the ladder of divine ascent. Because we see them, we see others who have accomplished a life of entering deeply and high along the path of salvation, transformed because we are already what God has created us to be. There are just things that impede us in the specific living of our life in the world. And so let us not despair when we find that we have sinned. Let us immediately convert away from that guilt. That pride, guilt and pride come together. That I should have this sin. It casts me down. We reject that. We convert. We repent of that. We embrace the holy sorrow of mourning. Confess our sin. Reject it. Repent. That means not to do it again. We go to sin no more because we need not ever sin in that way. That sin has been cast out, has been forgiven. And if we do these things, then we will have oriented ourselves toward the Holy One, Jesus the Christ, who is holy with a holiness that is not foreign to us, because he has made our humanity sacred. We have oriented ourselves toward him, and we have found the way to take hold of the first step of the ladder and pull ourselves up toward him, because we are leaving behind the realm of darkness. We are of the light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.